So good morning. Welcome to Birch Ridge Community Church. My name is Milt, and I'm really glad that you're here today as we continue in this series called Get Real. We're going through verse by verse the book of James, and in case you've not picked up on it, James is all about the rubber meeting the road, man, just like simple Christian living. This is what it looks like to not just say that you're a follower of Jesus, but this is what it looks like to actually live that out in our everyday life. Today we're going to wrap up chapter 3, and which it seems like a long time ago we started, but it's probably about 7 weeks or so, I suppose. But today we're going to wrap up chapter 3, and we're talking about wisdom. And since I'm the one preaching, it'll be a really short message. I don't got that much to say about wisdom, evidently. But y'all didn't find that as funny as I did. Okay. All right. So help me recite our family declaration and we'll dive in. All right. Here we go. Everybody ready? Your word, O Lord, is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. Therefore, I will hide your word in my heart that I might not sin against thee. There's a lot of smart people in the world. You know that? Not all of them are wise. Have you ever noticed that? There's a lot of educated fools in our world. Like a lot of times people think that education makes one wise. I don't agree. There's a lot of people who think the more books you read, the wiser you get. I don't agree. A lot of people think that if you have a degree or multiple degrees, that makes you wise. I do not agree. A lot of people think that having gray or silver hair or whiskers makes you wise. Though I'd like to believe that's true. I think it's only a sign that we've been around the sun a few times, and the hopes of those travels may have rubbed off a little bit of wisdom on us, but that's not altogether guaranteed, is it? I mean, Washington, D.C. has a lot of white and gray-haired people. Just saying. Sherlock Holmes and Dr. Watson went on a little camping trip, and they set their tent up under the stars and went to sleep. Sometime in the middle of the night, Holmes says to Watson, "Look up at the stars and tell me what you deduce." Watson looks up at the stars and he says, "Well, I see millions of stars. And even if a few of those have planets, it's quite likely there are some planets like Earth. And if there are a few planets like Earth out there, there might also be life." Holmes replied, "Watson, you idiot, someone stole our tent." The fact is, the world is filled with educated and smart and intelligent fools. There's more knowledge available to us now through devices than at any other time in the history of mankind, and yet there's still just as many fools among us. So what is wisdom? What is wisdom? We're going to look at a few different passages of Scripture before we actually get to James, and maybe try to conclude some working definitions of the word wisdom and what that looks like. But we'll start with Job, if you have a Bible. By the way, last week I had mentioned that if you didn't have a Bible and wanted one, that I would be happy to get you one. If you're one of those people, please see me right after the service. I've got your Bible. And if you didn't get that message and this week you've got the message and you don't have a Bible and you'd like one, please see me right after the service. I've got your Bible. Okay? In the meantime, if you have a Bible, open up to Job chapter 28 in verse 28. Job 28:28. And this is what God says to all humanity. The fear of the Lord is true wisdom. To forsake evil is real understanding. According to Scripture, in Job, the fear of the Lord is true wisdom. So what's the fear of the Lord? Right, I contend that we could conclude that the fear of the Lord is having this deep respect and reverence for God. Right? To be in awe of His splendor and glory and power and majesty. to fall on our knees in respect and reverence to his awesomeness. Who was the wisest man to ever live? Who? Supposedly, according to Scripture? Solomon, right? Watch this. Check this out. Solomon, in 1 Kings chapter 3, in verse 6. 1 Kings chapter 3, in verse 6, read through verse 12. Solomon replied, "You showed great and faithful love to your servant, my father David, because he was honest and true and faithful to you. And you have continued to show this great and faithful love to him today by giving him a son to sit on his throne. Now, O Lord my God, you have made me king instead of my father David, but I am like a little child who doesn't know his way around. And here I am in the midst of your own chosen people, a nation so great and numerous they cannot be counted. So give me," what's it say? "An understanding heart." What's it say? "Give me what? An understanding heart so that I can govern your people well and" what? "Know the difference between right and wrong." One more time. So what? "To know the difference between right and wrong. For who by himself is able to govern this great people of yours?" Watch this. Watch this. Don't miss this. "The Lord was pleased that Solomon had asked for wisdom." So God replied, "Because you have asked for wisdom in governing my people with justice and have not asked for a long life or wealth or the death of your enemies, I will give you what you asked for. I will give you a wise and understanding heart such as no one else has had or ever will have." Did we just read that Solomon asked God for wisdom? Did I miss something? Yet that's exactly what Solomon asked for according to God. So how is wisdom lived out in everyday life? I mean, that's what James is trying to help us get to. How is wisdom played out in everyday life? Because we also obviously know that wisdom doesn't come from books, wisdom doesn't come from degrees, and wisdom doesn't come from enough trips around the sun. So how do we, what is this wisdom we can get, and how do we live it out in everyday life? And so what I want us to do is start putting the pieces together from maybe Job and Solomon and 1 Kings. And then as we put these pieces together, I think what we'll find is true wisdom is found in the teaching of Jesus, where he laid out and said, "The greatest commandment of all is to love the Lord your God with all of your heart, strength, soul, and mind. And the second command is like it, love your neighbor as yourself." Love God and love people. And then Jesus said, on these two things hang all of the law and prophets. All the 613 commands that we find in the Old Testament law and throughout the prophets, all of them can basically get hung on these two things. Love God and love people. Now, according to Job's definition, wisdom is to have this respect and reverence for God, to be in awe of his majesty and glory and power. And from Solomon, we learn that wisdom is asking God for understanding in dealing with God's people and to know the difference between right and wrong. Therefore, I propose, and you may want to write this down, godly wisdom is truly loving God and truly loving people. Godly wisdom is truly loving God and truly loving people. So, I said all of that to say this. I think all of that stuff leading up to this will help the words of James kind of hopefully jump off the page at us a little bit, illuminate a little bit more of the meaning of the words that James has for us. Again, James is this no-nonsense, rubber meets the road. This is what it looks like to live the Christian life, okay? So let's jump into James chapter 3 and verse 13. Verse 13, "If you are wise and understand God's ways, prove it by living an honorable life. doing good works with the humility that comes from wisdom. Do you see it? If you truly are wise, if you really love God, if you really love God's people, prove it. Show it by living right and doing right. In the verses we're about to read, we're going to see that there's two kinds of wisdom and two origins of wisdom. There is this earthly wisdom that comes from books and pedigrees and diplomas and all these things, trips around the sun. And then there's wisdom that's from above. And we're going to see the difference, and we're going to see what we really need to be pressing into. So verse 14 of James chapter 3. But if you are bitterly jealous and there is selfish ambition in your heart, don't cover up the truth with boasting and lying, for jealousy and selfishness are not God's kind of wisdom. Such things are earthly, unspiritual, and demonic. For wherever there is jealousy and selfish ambition, there you will find disorder and evil of every kind. This is the wisdom that Solomon was talking about in Proverbs, in verse 25, where he said, there is a path before each person that seems right, but it ends in death. Right? That's that earthly wisdom that comes from enough laps around the sun. Well, just seem, how many of you ever done that? Like, it seemed like the right thing to do. Why'd you do that? I don't know, it seemed right. There is a way that seems right unto man, but the ends thereof are the ways of death. Right? Do these characteristics describe you? Are you a bitter kind of person? Are you a jealous kind of person? Are you in it for you? Are you, I'm gonna get mine, you get yours? Are you the kind of person that will lie and deceive to try to make yourself look good? Are you the kind that will take the shortcut every chance you get to make other people think that you're something that you're not? This kind of wisdom is not God's wisdom. It's not simple spirit. It's not simple Christian living, as James is trying to get us to. In fact, if we look deeper, what did we find? It's demonic. It's evil. Verse 17. But the wisdom from above is first of all pure. It is also peace-loving, gentle at all times, and willing to yield to others. It is full of mercy and good deeds. It shows no favoritism and is always sincere. And those who are peacemakers will plant seeds of peace and reap a harvest of righteousness. So the question that we're going to spend the rest of our time together this morning asking is this. Are you practicing that kind of wisdom that comes from above? Like, do you exhibit these characteristics in your life? Now we're going to break these down into seven characteristics, and I want us to kind of grade ourselves. We're going to put a little number for us in each one of these things. But before I go any farther, let me just say, be nice to yourself. Okay? Show yourself some grace. But be open and be honest, so that the Holy Spirit can bring some things to your attention as He wants. Is that fair enough? And then there's these seven things, dish many, there's these seven things that we're going to, characteristics we're going to look at, and each one you're going to grade yourself 1 to 10. 1 is, I am really horrible at this. 10 is, I knocked that thing flat out of the park, right? And somewhere you find your number, and you, like I said, be nice to yourself, but be honest. And then for each one of these seven things, you're going to write a number, 1 to 10. And then when we get done, you're going to add them all up. It's going to equate to a number. You're going to take that number, multiply by 100 and divide by 70. Or multiply by 10 and divide by 7, which is ever is easiest for you. Same thing, only different. And you're going to get a grade, if you will, of where you're at. It's just between you and God, and maybe the person sitting next to you if you're sharing paper. And it's meant for God to use that as like a opening our eyes. And so I'm going to ask you to do that. Be kind to yourself, but be open to see what God might say to us. The first thing is this. The first characteristic, wisdom from above is pure. Wisdom from above is pure. Let's not overcomplicate this thing here. We can talk about purity and what that looks like in the life and so on and so forth, but we don't have time to get into all seven of these in depth, so let's just keep it simple. My wedding ring, if it's pure gold, what does that mean? It means there's no other metals or elements added to it. It's 100% pure gold, right? Orange juice. If it's 100% orange juice, it means there's been no water added. There's been no sugar added. It's 100% orange juice. Is that clear? And everybody got that? And that's what this is getting at. This is the concept of purity. That we are seeking to be a fully, not partially, but a fully devoted follower of Jesus. Like, we talk about that all the time. The world is filled with half-baked, partially, halfway kind of sort of followers of Jesus. Now, I'm not asking, this question isn't asking, are you a, right now, a fully devoted follower of Jesus? Because last week, if you remember, we touched on this, God isn't so much looking for perfection in performance as he is purity in heart. He's looking for a heart that's pure. Are you seeking this? Are you seeking and striving to become a fully devoted follower of Jesus where everything focuses on him and goes through the filter of him? 1 to 10, give yourself a score. Number 2, wisdom from above is peace-loving. Is peace-loving. Are you a kind of an abrasive person? You kind of really rough around the edges and you rub people the wrong way. Do you like to stir the pot? Huh? You like to rile things up? You know, you ain't happy unless somebody else is not happy. Right? Are you that kind of person? Or are you the kind of person that strives to bring peace? Strives to keep the peace in the family. You know, every family's got one of those that they're like, let's just all get along, guys. You know, right? Which one are you? Or maybe I can ask it this way. Do you seek to help or hurt? Like, where are you in this peace loving? 1 to 10, give yourself a score. Number 3, wisdom from above is gentle. It's gentle. Now, this isn't a weak person. The word gentle comes from the root of the word that Jesus is described as, the word meek. Meek is not weak, right? Meekness is power under control. This is the kind of person that isn't looking for a fight. But if you bring the fight and you insist on a fight, you better pack a lunch. It's going to be a long day, right? It's that power under control. It's that gentle. Abraham Lincoln was described as velvet steel. Think about that. Let that settle in. Maybe say that a few times today. Just thinking about that. He was described as a man, velvet steel. That's kind of what we're looking at here. Gentle. Does that describe you? 1 to 10? Grade yourself. Number 4, wisdom from above is willing to yield to others. Wisdom from above is willing to yield to others. Do you always got to have your way? Huh? Is it always got to be your way? Do you always have to be right? Is there any room in your life to acknowledge that someone else might have a better idea? Are you willing to prefer someone else over you? Like, you may have your preference, but you know your spouse has a different preference, or your children have a different preference, or your neighbor or your coworker. You know, you prefer this, but you know they prefer that, so you're going to prefer them and do it that way instead. I mean, is that the kind of person you are? Could be a tougher one. 1 to 10, give yourself a score. Wisdom from above is full of mercy and good deeds. Wisdom from above is full of mercy and good deeds. As we understand a working definition of the word mercy, it's holding back that which we deserve, right? We've probably learned that in the years past, and I know I've taught it. Grace is God giving us that which we do not deserve, heaven. And mercy is holding back that which we do deserve, hell. Right? Y'all do realize that's what we deserve. That's what we got coming to us. So if you ever want to do this thing like, that's not fair. Do you really want fair? Didn't think so, right? So mercy is God holding back that which we deserve. Like, we rightfully deserve to go to hell. But through the mercy of God, because he allows us an opportunity to put our faith in Jesus as our Savior and accepting his payment on the cross for our sins, we don't have to go to hell. Right? We deserve it, but God's not sending us there if we put our trust in Jesus. That's mercy. Does that describe you? Or are you more the kind of person like, you know what? You made your bed, lie in it. You did it yourself. I tried steering you, but you wouldn't listen, so it's just consequences. That's what you got coming. Does that describe you more so than maybe a person of like, you really don't deserve this, but I know I have been forgiven and I have received mercy that I didn't deserve, so I'm going to extend mercy to someone who doesn't deserve it? 1 to 10, what score do you give yourself? Number 6, wisdom from above shows no favoritism. Wisdom from above shows no favoritism. All other things equal, do you treat some people differently based on national origin, color of their skin? Like, they got a nice house and fancy cars. I wonder what I can benefit from them, right? Oh, look at them. I'm not going to pay any attention. You know, I could go on and on and on with scenarios and different examples, but do I need to? Hello? Y'all get the idea? Do you show favoritism to one person or another? Or do you sincerely seek to treat everyone the same, to see everyone as a precious child of God whom Jesus died and shed his blood to redeem? 1 to 10, give yourself a score. And the last one is wisdom from above is sincere. Wisdom from above is sincere. It simply means without hypocrisy. Like, are you a hypocrite? Is what you say really who you are? Do you put on a show in front of others? Are you the same at home as you are at work? Are you the same at home as you are at church? Are you the same here? Do you genuinely care, or is it just for show? You see, if you choose wisdom from above, if you choose to make that your goal, I can't promise you a life that's pain-free and easy. And I can't promise you a life of health and wealth and prosperity. But I can promise you that you will, if you pursue the wisdom that comes from above, that you will be a person of godly character. You will be a person that people will be drawn to you, and you will be a person with whom your Heavenly Father will look at you and say, well done. He will be well pleased if you chase after the wisdom that comes from above. Now, it's hard to live like Jesus if you don't know Jesus. So I don't want to assume, because you're in church on Memorial Day weekend, that everybody knows Jesus. So if you're here this morning and you have never put your trust in Jesus as your Savior and asked him to forgive you of your sins, that's where it starts. The best you know how, just to say a simple prayer like, God, I've heard about Jesus dying on the cross. But this morning, it's become real that he died on the cross to pay for my sins. and that I deserve to go to hell. I don't want to. And so the best I know how, I'm putting my trust in you as my Savior for rescuing me, forgiving me of my sins. And so I'm asking you the best I know how to come into my heart and make me new. Thank you for new life, and now you have mine. In Jesus' name, amen. If you prayed a simple prayer like that, the Bible says that something supernatural happens. That if anyone is in Christ, they are a new creation. The old life is gone. Behold, everything has become brand new. And if that's you this morning, just in the quietness even of your chair and right where you are, you can just pray a simple prayer like that. And God is faithful and He is good. And He will forgive you of your sin and He will give you new life. He will give you heaven, what you don't deserve, grace. And He will give you mercy, holding back what you do deserve, same as me. And then we truly understand why God left us here. And if we truly understand that, then that makes the message of James and wisdom important. Because worldly wisdom will do nothing for that. But wisdom from above will help us to be and live a life that shows that the Holy Spirit is in us to help others who are far from God see that and desire that for themselves. And as we think about Memorial Day and honoring those brave men and women who have given their lives to provide freedom that we have as Americans, I think I would be amiss to not read this verse as well. In Romans chapter 5 and verse 8, it says, "But God showed His great love for us by sending Christ to die for us while we were still sinners." While you and I were still spitting in God's face, while you and I were doing all these things, God demonstrated His incredible love for us. Not after we repented, not after we stopped, but while we were still neck deep in sin, Jesus died for you and me. That's the greatest sacrifice ever. And so whether you are a brand new born-again believer, you've been a believer for 100 years, may that never get old. May we never take that for granted. God demonstrated incredible love for us in the gift of Jesus. And what He asks in return is for us to be Jesus to a world that needs to see Him.